Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. Joining us now is Adele Stan, who is Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She co-edited with Don Hazen the Alternet book Dangerous Brew, Exposing the Tea Party's Agenda to Take Over America. Welcome, Adele Stan.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And obviously, you've covered the Tea Party over its various iterations as a supposed grassroots organization that sprung out of the outrage over the bailout for the 2008 crash of Wall Street. And has now become clearly a astroturf operation and financed by a handful of bilious billionaires, and they faithfully execute the agenda of the super rich. But what I find extraordinary about the rebuttal to the president's State of the Union tonight is that the two Tea Party spokespeople are on, Marco Rubio, who is the protege of Jim DeMint, and who's about as dyed-in-the-wool Tea Party person as you can get, along with Rand Paul, who is ostensibly the Tea Party guy. So what kind of kabuki theater are the Republicans playing here?
Well, this is so extraordinary, Ian. You're absolutely correct. I mean, you know, I watched Marco Rubio's, one might call it his big coming out speech in the debutante sense to the National Conservative Movement at the Conservative Political Action Conference several years ago. And indeed, he is sort of the great hope of the right wing of the party, and is very much allied, as you said, with the Tea Party movement. In fact, his nomination to the to the Senate seat he now has was through a primary challenge to the sitting governor, Charlie Crist, who is what would be considered a more, at least at the time, an establishment Republican. However, what we see happening now is, in tapping Marco Rubio, Rubio now runs the risk of being the establishment Republican, because he was tapped to deliver this response to the president's State of the Union message. And that has to do with the drubbing that Republicans took, significantly at the hands of Latino voters. And Rubio is a guy who has always had a somewhat softer position on immigration policy than the party at large, and particularly the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. So that is his, why he is out there, why they are putting him out there. But, you know, the Tea Party has been doing these rebuttals to both the establishment Republican Party and the president's State of the Union message now for the past couple of years. And when we say the Tea Party, Ian, that's probably too general a term. It's being done by a group called the Tea Party Express. And the Tea Party Express are not simply an astroturf group, but they are as a PAC, a political action committee of old hands at right-wing Republican fundraising. So that is what we have there. And both, and Rand Paul, of course, was a protege of Jim DeMint as well.
So what do you expect from tonight, Adele Stan, in terms of the president, who appears to be spreading himself thin in his second term? And unless the Democrats are able to turn things around in 2014, the clock is ticking on him being a lame duck. So the window is closing, and he's, of course, gun control's been forced on him by what happened in Connecticut. Global warming ought to be hitting him in the face because of the superstorm, one of many, and they're going to increase in frequency and in strength as global warming becomes more and more manifest. Immigration, as you mentioned, with the Republicans putting up their kinder and gentler face in the form of Marco Rubio, gay rights, etc. So normally presidents figure out what they can do in their second term and choose rather narrowly. It seems that the president has got a broad menu here. What do you think he's going to get done?
What I think he has a good shot at getting immigration done in some form, because of how the Republicans suffered in the last election. I think that that's something he has a real shot at. I think that the other issues, gun control, he'll probably get some form of perhaps ammunition, you know, the a ban on large magazines, so, and he'll probably get the background check. Perhaps. I shouldn't even say probably, Ian, because it's got to get through the House, and who knows.
By the way, the House have invited, at least one House member has invited Ted Nugent into the chamber.
Which is extraordinary.
Well, this has been a pattern, hasn't it, since Obama's become president, that angry white men are able to express their venom without sanction.
Indeed. I mean, from the very first, before he even did his State of the Union, because the president's first speech in office is really a speech before the joint, joint session of Congress. It's not quite a State of the Union, but that's the speech at which, you know, Joe Wilson screamed, "You lie." Here we have Ted Nugent, who, entertains wearing a Confederate flag, who has performed with machine guns and saying that the president should suck on his. He's used all kinds of language about the president and Hillary Clinton that we cannot use on the radio. And this is whom Steve Stockton tends, you know, he decides to bring to the State of the Union, in the very same State of the Union that the First Lady will have in her box, the parents of a slain child, Hadiya Pendleton, who was killed sitting in a park in Chicago, and who had performed in the inauguration parade with her high school's majorette group. And apparently somebody from Newtown, Connecticut, I don't know if it's the parents of one of the slain children or whatever. So, I mean, this is just, I mean, it's just beyond imagination, you know. It's not even something I could imagine happening, you know, 40 years ago, even though the country was in such a racial strife at that time. You wouldn't have had something like this going on in the Congress. It's just really crazy.
So Adele Stan, again, Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief, do you think that the president, who's not normally confrontational, and apparently the preview of the speech indicates that he's going to make nice and try and reach over and get something done and use that dreadful word, compromise. but on the other hand, given that the Republicans are determined to tank the economy,
right,
and create another recession, because they're going to go ahead and push this sequester, mm-hmm, which will take an enormous amount of money out of the economy, struggling to revive. This is economics 101. We know that what austerity does. We've seen it, what it's done in Europe, and it will do the same thing here. So, in other words, the Republicans are deliberately inflicting a lot of pain, cruel and unusual punishment on the American people, impoverishing millions of their fellow
That's
Americans.
Right.
For no reason whatsoever, except perhaps their own ideology or their fealty towards billionaires who want to turn America into a plantation economy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think he should step up and lay this marker down and put the American people on notice that these crazies are about to do this?
Yes, I do, and I'm not yet, I think we'll see what's in between the tea leaves that we're reading. I do still expect the more pugilistic Obama 2.0 that we have seen since his first press conference following the election. I do expect that Obama to be at the podium tonight far more than the previous conciliatory Obama. I mean, I think he will likely pay some lip service to bipartisanship, but I think that he will continue with marking out the more progressive agenda that so vexed the Republicans after his inauguration. So I'm not yet ready to concede that the president is going to roll over. I do still have concerns about what he might be willing to compromise vis-a-vis Social Security, this whole notion of the chain CPI, which is really a reduction in benefits, troubles me. But I think we shall see.
So what explains Lindsey Graham's hissy fits against the president? We understand John McCain's bitterness about losing, and he'll do anything he can to sabotage the president and undermine his authority. And these two guys have tag-teamed him on. They're going to try and block the nominations of Chuck Hagel at Defense and John Brennan at the CIA. And I've suspect, this list, my theory is that one of the reasons they're so mad at Obama is that Obama has been out hawking the Republicans on national security. Normally, the Democrats are defensive on national security and the Republicans own it. And now Obama is so hawkish on defense.
Especially with the drone program.
That they got nowhere to go. Is that what their frustration's about?
I think that's part of it. And I do feel that even as they respond so cantankerously to the Hagel nomination, they know that they are somehow fulfilling the president's game plan for their own behavior, and that makes them even crazier. I mean, I do think that Obama gamed this, you know, nominating Hagel because he was indeed a Republican, and that would give the country a show of just how unwilling to compromise at all that they are, that they would go after one of their own this way because simply because the president nominated him. However, I do think there's another bit of politics in play vis-a-vis Lindsey Graham, and that is that he is up for re-election, Ian, and he will face a primary challenge from the right. If he does not, you know, play a very, very hard game and make a big show of attacking the president, the Tea Party does not love, the Tea Party folks do not love Lindsey Graham. So he is really trying to show his stuff.
Well, but what explains the apparent inexorable ability of right-wing Americans to pull America's political discourse further and further to the right? The Tea Party have done that. They're just really the repackaging of the Republican right under a different label.
Surely.
And they have managed to capture the Republican Party and move the discourse way to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious to know why in this country you cannot have a left-wing equivalent of the Tea Party that moves the country to the left, or at least tries to balance up the tug of gravity here.
Well, I think that it has to do, Ian, with sort of the difference in structure between the left and the right. And the left has always been far more prey to balkanization or long issue lines, where the right tends to be more of a cultural identity movement. You know, the left is a coalition of very many different kinds of people, people from all sorts of different ethnic, racial, class backgrounds. The right tends to be a movement of white people. Who and a particular type of white person who is very fearful of change. So you have just structurally, I think you have the left at a disadvantage. Then when you factor in the way the two different movements are funded, you know, first of all, you know, rich people who want to fund the left are basically betting against their own economic interests, A. And B, the left-wing funders tend to fund in the same way that the movement is structured, which is by project, by project, by project, by issue, instead of giving, you know, left-wing organizations operating budgets to work with. The right has never had that problem. They are very happy to fund the operating budgets of right-wing organizations and think tanks. So I do think a lot of the problem is structural.
So does that mean the president in the State of the Union is supposed to mention the growing disparity of wealth and how to address it? I know he's going to talk about jobs,
right,
and jobs, but it would seem to me that if money is the new currency of politics, it therefore means that the person with money wins, the person without money doesn't. So if our politics have become about money primarily and less about issues and candidates, isn't that a good place to start? I mean, after all, the Occupy movement framed this debate in the 99% versus
right.
one. So if you remember the 99%, it seems less important what your ethnicity is and what your sexual preferences are. It seems more important to form some kind of solidarity with your brothers and sisters before the billionaires take over the whole ballgame.
Well, I think that's true, and I think it is happening. I think it's a very hard thing to make happen very quickly. I mean, I really do believe that that is indeed happening. And I also think we have a younger generation of activists that, you know, that do not carry the baggage that those of us who are, you know, came of age, you know, as baby boomers have along those lines. However, I think that it's just, if left to proceed organically, it's going to be too slow a process. You know, it needs to be jump-started. I think that it needs a little help, it needs an infusion of cash as much as it needs an infusion of energy.
Well, just in closing, Adele Stan, again, AltaNet's Washington Bureau Chief, what's your expectation tonight? What's your wish that he will say and that will resonate?
Well, I really hope, Ian, that on this notion of these automatic spending cuts that the Republicans are insisting must take place, that they refuse to take any action to stop. I hope that he truly lays that at the feet of the Republicans and lays out the kind of argument that you've been making, that they, I mean, Eric Cantor himself said we're going to hurt a lot of people. Eric Cantor is, of course, the House majority.
He's also said it's Obama's sequester, and yes. So is Mitch McConnell. I mean, these people are unbelievable liars.
They're absolutely unbelievable. So I hope that Obama can find a way to lay that at their feet and to also mention that they're talking about wanting to shut down the government. I hope that he does that. Overall, I wish that I could expect him to say that we're going to end the use of drones, you know, to assassinate American citizens or to deliver lessons to civilian areas in Pakistan, but I don't expect that, unfortunately. But I do think that the biggest thing that he can do is to say, you know, come on, America, we need to come together to save this country, to save our economy, to create jobs, and I want you to look at those guys across the aisle because they're the ones who are standing in our way. Now, you know, I mean, he can't say it quite that way, but he may come close.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here, Adele Stan.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who's AltaNet's Washington Bureau Chief. She co-edited with Don Hazen the AltaNet book, Dangerous Brew, Exposing the Tea Party's Agenda to Take Over America. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about whether the president has taken on too many challenges in his second term.
Bruce Rodner!
Sit down, man.
Glenn Beck.
Sit down, man.
Rand Paul.
Sit down, man.
LL Cool J.
Sit down, man.
Netanyahu.
Sit down, man.
Sarah Palin.
Sit down, man.
Newt Gingrich.
Sit down, man.
Toby Keith.
Sit down, man.